Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today's first reading is taken from the beginning of the second letter of St. Peter, which we find in the New Testament. There are 21 letters in the New Testament, and in those 21 letters, as you can imagine, there's an enormous wealth of spiritual insight. Let's just take a look at the first few verses that we have before us this morning from the Apostle St. Peter. He begins by saying to his readers this, "Beloved, may grace and peace be yours in abundance through knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. We know that our human soul has two main faculties or two main powers. There's the intellect and there's the will. Some will add a third faculty, the memory, but the two main powers of the soul are the intellect and the will. What does the intellect do? Well, the intellect looks for what is true. And the will? Well, the will looks for what is good. Knowledge, of course, has to do with the intellect. St. Peter is saying here that the knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus brings grace and peace to the soul. Well, why is that? Well, because Jesus himself is the truth, and the intellect searches for truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he said to Thomas in John chapter 14, verse 6. So knowing Christ, who is the truth, really allows the light and the grace of God to flood into our minds and consequently into our souls as well, because the truth is what our mind is really looking for in this life. And the more we fix our thoughts on Christ's and on God's truth, the more we will be free from the errors which keep us in spiritual darkness and in spiritual bondage. Jesus himself said to his disciples, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." John 8, verse 32. And growth in knowledge means increasing our understanding of God's ways and really deepening our relationship with him at the same time. Then in his letter, St. Peter says that through this knowledge of Christ, which has been given to us, God has given us two other things. He says, one, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. So everything we need. As the apostle writes, his divine power has bestowed on everything that makes for life and devotion through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and power. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. So with Jesus really at the center of our lives, we truly lack nothing. Second thing is, through the knowledge of Christ, God has given us a share in his own divine nature. Again, we quote the apostle, quote, "Through these he has bestowed on us the precious and very great promises, so that through them you may come to share in the divine nature, after escaping from the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire." 2 Peter 1, verse 4. So if being a Catholic meant that we automatically, for example, received 100 shares of stock in the Amazon company, then I'm guessing most people in the world would be lining up to receive baptism nowadays. But since being a Catholic only means receiving a share in God's divine nature, well, most people aren't interested. Why is that? Well, because most people's priorities are backwards, they're upside down. So knowledge of God and of his Christ are very important, as St. Peter tells us. However, we are not saved by knowledge. St. Paul says, quote, "By grace you have been saved through faith," Ephesians 2, verse 8. So we are saved by grace through faith by means of baptism, as Jesus himself specified after his resurrection. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved," Mark 16, 16. And to go one step further, we're saved by grace through faith and baptism unto good works, as the letter of St. James tells us. Quote, "Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead," James chapter 2, verse 17. Now, all this being said, knowledge of God and of Christ really is the first step on the path of salvation. But it's also important because that knowledge, if it's combined with the sacraments, with a life of prayer, with a life of virtue, and with the works of charity, really actually does sanctify us. It makes us more and more like Christ himself, like God himself. And finally, this morning, St. Peter tells us this, quote, For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with devotion, devotion with mutual affection, mutual affection with love. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. Now, instead of the famous 12-step recovery program, St. Peter here is laying out for us something which should be easier, a 7-step program which leads to life and to freedom and to true contentment. Now, let's briefly take a look at the steps he's given us. First step, he says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. So the things which we know by faith need to transform how we think, how we act, and the choices that we make. We know that a virtue is a habit of doing good. The word virtue comes from the Latin word vir, which means to be a man, basically. Someone who practices virtue is strong, is manly, or simply is a mature person. For example, if I know that Jesus said, quote, whatever you did to one of these least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me, Matthew 25, verse 40. Well, if I know that, then I know that I need to treat others virtuously. I should be more careful in what I think about others, in what I say, and how I interact with people, especially with those whom I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. You can't love humanity and hate the humans who live with you and who work with you at the same time. That's not Christ-like, of course. One's faith needs to translate into living virtuously, first step. Second step, make every effort to supplement virtue with knowledge. So the more I put into practicing the virtues, for example, of patience, kindness, humility, gentleness, chastity, modesty, well, living virtually actually reinforces my desire and increases my desire to know more about God, to get closer to Him. I'll be more eager, for example, to spend time reading the scriptures or the catechism or good spiritual books if I'm living the way God tells me to live, if I'm living virtuously. Third step St. Peter offers, he says, make every effort to supplement knowledge with self-control. With my knowledge of God's character, His will, and His commandments, I need to base my actions and my reactions on how God tells me to live, because whatever He tells me to do is what's best for me. For example, someone who has a problem with thoughts and acts of impurity. Now, instead of giving into the temptation or just sitting there trying to arm wrestle with Satan, which we shouldn't do because he's stronger than us, we need to have a strategy. The strategy could be this. First thing, identify the temptation when it comes into your mind. For example, if you're on the battlefield, the first thing you have to do, of course, is identify the enemy. Otherwise, you'll be dead within a few minutes of the beginning of the battle. So identify the enemy. Say to yourself that impure thought does not come from God. It's a temptation. It's the enemy. And remember, of course, the thought in and of itself is not a sin. It becomes sinful when I embrace it, if I want to commit that impure action or if I act on it. The thought in itself is not a sin, it's just a temptation. Second strategic move here, turn to Our Lady and ask her for help in resisting the temptation. Third thing, have an activity to do, something already pre-planned that you can do when the impure thoughts come into your head. For example, it could be getting up and doing some work around the house, getting involved in a favorite hobby that you like to work on, getting up and going out for a walk, calling a friend, going to church, visiting our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, some kind of activity which you have to engage your mind in, because you can't focus on two things at the same time. You can't focus on the temptation and on another activity which engages your mind at the same time. In this way, we gain control over ourselves and we gain mastery over the temptation. The goal of having self-control is to be master over our passions instead of being a slave to them. Too many people, as we know, are slaves to their passions. The true disciple of Christ tames and masters his passions. He's a slave only to Christ himself. That's the third step. Fourth step, make every effort to supplement that self-control with endurance. Endurance means, of course, perseverance. Persevere in having mastery over our passions, in resisting temptation, in practicing virtue. That will better your life of prayer and devotion, as St. Peter says and indicates in his fifth step, which is this: make every effort to supplement endurance with devotion. Devotion here doesn't mean having anything to do with our favorite baseball team or basketball team or our favorite music band. Devotion here, in a Christian sense, means the disposition of our will to do promptly the things that concern the worship and the service of God. That's what devotion is. Becoming master over our passions, living a virtuous life, growing in the knowledge of God, and being determined to endure life's hardships, staying close to the Lord and Our Lady, lead to a true spirit of devotion, a willingness to dedicate quality and quantity time to our Lord every day, a willingness to even drop everything at the drop of a hat if at that moment I'm called to do some service for the love and the honor of God, as sometimes happens. Then the last two steps are these. According to St. Peter, make every effort to supplement devotion with mutual affection and mutual affection with love. See how St. Peter basically tells us that all of our activities, all of our life is connected. Everything that we do has an impact on the different areas of our life. All of our life needs to be in harmony with the will of God, not only our personal life, but also our public life as well. For example, and we never tire of giving this example, I can't be a faithful Catholic in church and at home and then vote for a satanic social agenda in the voting booth on election day. That's called being double-minded or duplicitous. Patience is a virtue. Duplicity is not a virtue. And I think Cardinal Dolan of New York even wrote a good op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal touching on this subject a few months ago, if any of you are interested in looking it up. And St. Peter ends his seven-step program, where all knowledge is meant to end, which is with love. Love truly is the ultimate goal of knowledge, and love is in the will, it's not in the feelings. Love is obeying God's commandments, it's embracing with our will what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Love is choosing what is right, no matter what the public opinion polls say, no matter what the culture of death preaches, no matter what the consequences. And love is in the will, and that's where all knowledge is meant to end, in the action of doing the will of the Father, no matter what. And I'd encourage you to read through the letters of the New Testament, you who have time and dedication, because they are truly a goldmine as far as helping us to line up our thoughts with God's thoughts and our life with God's life, the way he intends us to live. The more we're able to transform our way of thinking, as St. Paul says in Romans 12:2, the more we will truly be at peace, and the more we will truly be a light to those who are around us. Praise be Jesus and Mary.